BI Radio and Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
And the crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to the ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the burst. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted. Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try. Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and
Chris Gale,
as they fire up.
Natives of intriguing San Francisco say it's there their hearts will always be. But surely they can't care if I'm more excited about her sister city far across the sea. My city of Sydney, the warmth of you, miss the heart of your people, that little church steeple in Woolloomooloo.
L'amour. There are two great things in this world, and I'm not talking about rugby league here, Chris Gale. I'm talking about the city of Sydney and love itself. Now, love is in the air this week. It's everywhere. It's rampant in rugby league. It's the very core of what drives, what motivates. It's not money. It's not fear. It's not hopelessness. It's not dreaming. All those great things we talk about rugby league, it is love. Am I not right here?
Stephen, are we not in the Northern Hemisphere right now? The sun is shining outside. The birds are singing. It feels like spring in the air, and I am positively giddy.
You
giddy
are.
With love.
You
giddy
are.
With love.
I had to hold you up in the street.
I know, I'm woozy.
It's woozy with love.
Phil, and if this is not a strong message right now that the NRL should wake up to themselves and restrict the competition back to the Greater Sydney region.
That's it.
Then we'd have some love on our mind.
One man, probably the smartest man in rugby league, has seen the light.
He has.
And it's heart-driven.
Possibly.
Cooper Cronk.
Really?
Yes, Cooper Cronk has decided, as if we didn't know, that Sydney is the place to be. Now, we all talk about, City of Light, Paris, you know, where lovers go. They do say that Melbourne is the Paris of the South. I don't say that, but they have said that.
They talk about Philadelphia as the city of brotherly love.
It's brotherly love.
But that's not inclusive, is it?
It is not.
That's just the love between brothers.
Love between brothers.
Some of which is not spoken about in polite society. But
Sydney, the great inclusive city.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We have room for people from Melbourne.
Now, Cooper Cronk, of course, he's from Brisbane originally. Goes down to Melbourne for, I don't know, 20 years. He's achieved whatever he wants to achieve.
Feels like 40.
He's 33. You know, in rugby league terms, that's about 102.
That's right.
He's due to retire. Only one thing could drag him out of Melbourne, away from the big three, not the big four. Or is it the Fab Three?
Fab Four,
okay. Cam, you know, Billy the Kid, etc.
Bellyache.
Yeah, bellyache. Apparently, Cooper, let's just paint a picture. And if I could say now, the barber from Frog Hollow joins us.
Wow.
Matty Clark. Good morning to you, Matty.
Yes, privileged to be here, Stephen.
Yes.
And in the spirit of privilege, I feel it important to identify myself to the listeners. I am cis white male. I was assigned male genitalia at birth.
Were you?
I identify with being a privileged white male today.
Well, you better keep your mouth shut.
Ask me again tomorrow. I don't know.
Yes, cis meaning you identify with your birth genitalia.
My assigned genitalia.
It was a god? Who assigned that?
Oh, I'm a godless fellow, Stephen.
We're talking all things love here, so we'll get away from the religious topics. Picture this, Cooper Cronk. He finishes the game. He goes through his notes. He analyzes all the data, takes off all the plugs and the things that keeps him going.
That's right. He plugs in and downloads all the data off the brain into his little hard drive.
Because you cynic, thought he was a robot.
I've been accused of that.
Yes, and you're still in doubt, doubting Thomas.
I know what you're going to talk about, and I will put an alternative viewpoint as to what's behind this move from the
doubting Chris. So he's downloaded all the data. He's revved up all the troops. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning, what, 5 a.m., lads? You know, he puts on his cape, his super cape, and off he goes. Where does he go, Chris?
Well, after he says, Craig, can we just do one more video session, please? He goes, look, come on, Cooper, even I need to go home to the wife and the kids.
Ah. Right? What does Cam say?
Coop, I'd love to hang out with you. You're my brother, but I need to go home to the wife and the kids.
What does Billy say?
Cooper, you and I together, two of the best-looking men in rugby league, we know that, very much popular amongst the ladies, but unlike you... Yeah. I have to go home to the wife and the kids.
Because when you're in Melbourne, there's only so many times you can go to the local casino on your own, you know? What else is there to do? I don't know. They say it's the sporting capital of Australia.
Well, you can step outside the casino and the South Bank and watch those artificial flames shoot into the sky. That'll keep you occupied for a while.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So what else could a single man do in Melbourne? Matty,
well,
what would you...
apparently he goes home alone,
cooks
a steak.
Right, cooks a steak.
Watches TV.
Gee, that sounds good.
Now, perhaps... So Gogglebox is the new opening for Cougar Kong. We could watch him eat his steak,
sign
watch
him
TV.
Up. So there are
hilarious.
There are the comparative scenarios. Home to the wife and kids.
Yeah.
Home to a big steak and watching television on your own.
Yes.
You make your decision.
He could watch himself on Gogglebox.
That's
being
correct.
Judged by Australians watching Gogglebox, watching Cooper Cronk, watching Gogglebox.
Watching a covering of the Melbourne Storms game.
Yes. Now, what would the people of Australia, as represented by Gogglebox, because I think you've got the Indian family, you've got the white Anglo-Saxon family like yours, Matty.
Yes, yes. the privileged white Anglo-Saxon.
The older couple on the Chardonnay.
The gay couple.
Yes.
Are they gay or not gay couple? Yeah, you know,
that's right.
The Asians. The whole bit. What would they be saying about Cooper Cronk with a steak and a big... bugger off television. Would they say he's lucky or he's sad?
Ooh, I'd say sitting in Melbourne on your own, you're pretty sad.
Ah, there'd be a sort of like a pathos, wouldn't there? They'd be going, oh, poor Cooper.
But isn't it, Stephen, isn't it what you were telling me earlier today? Isn't it what the script says?
You think... Chris, love doesn't follow a script. When Cupid strikes, when that arrow comes flying through the air and whacks you in the ass, you're struck.
But nothing
you can do about it. But look at Wayne.
Well, and we'll look at Wayne and the impact he had on the Broncos last night. But the script of a retired NRL veteran in the media generally does have, prior to retiring and becoming entitled to commentate from the sidelines, you need to do a little bit of clearing up in your personal life. There's a few boxes to be ticked.
Oh, yes.
I think lonely single guy...
doesn't sell well.
Because when you have those little moments like, well, you know, the kids were giving me a bit of a hard time the other day about going for this and that, you need those anecdotes as a commentator.
Andrew Johnson's bucked a few of those trends.
But
what a life he's lived.
What a life. When's the movie?
Well, remember, at some stage he was thought to be the next Bond because he was dating Daniel Craig's ex. And I remember one semi-finals, all the fireworks were going off on Allianz.
Yeah.
And Andrew Johnson just walked straight through the middle of it, as Bond would.
Was he in a tux?
He was in a tux. and Andrew is still, and it's clear, looking for love.
Yes, yes.
And so Cooper's reading
the
script.
You can see it on his face, can't you?
You can.
Yeah.
You can. But Cooper's reading the script.
Okay.
And he's saying, can I go into retired media commentator as a lonely single guy eating a steak?
I guess Matty might have to be the judge here between cynic and true believer in love.
Oh, look, I'm more of the wagon that he signed with Canterbury Bankstown, which basically means living in Bankstown, one of Sydney's lesser suburbs, is still better than living in Melbourne.
So the crime capital of Australia, better than Melbourne.
Better than the Paris end of Melbourne.
Hello, Canterbury Bankstown.
Matty, you're not buying into that two-bit conspiracy theory that Des Hasler's two-year extension came with a promise that a player who happens to be managed by the same player agent,
connections,
by their George Mimas, that Des says sign me and I'll bring Cooper to Belmore.
Yeah, yes, but I think the rider on that is I'll also get rid of Hoppawattie in the deal.
I'm hearing Mbai, Reynolds, James Graham to Newcastle, and there's a lot happening at Newcastle.
Everyone's going to Newcastle. Everyone's we'll all, talk about Newcastle.
All trains lead to Newcastle.
Now, so Melbourne is not a city of love.
Not in my experience. Now, I've been down there recently, and it was loveless.
Now, if I could just pull it back one more time, Chris, and it's not just love. It's the lure of love in the city of love, in the city of Sydney. Now, let's just compare here. You know, they talk about laneways. We got laneways.
Yes.
Okay. We got sport. We got coffee. Better coffee, Melbourne, right? So what else is it? It's the little church steeple in Woolloomooloo. It's the ferry to Manly.
It's the church near Double Bay where Elton John got married in 1984.
Yes, skipping stones on the water down at Lady Macquarie's chair.
It's the harbour on which the ferry traverses.
Yes,
it's
remember the hydrofoil. We missed it.
The Manly.
Yeah.
I love that hydrofoil.
Yeah, and I think Cooper still thinks...
The Fairlight.
He thinks there's a monorail here too. And there's not.
That was part of the pitch. Don't tell him the monorail's gone.
That was part of the pitch.
No, it's the promise of more trams.
The promise of more...
The light rail.
You're a romantic, aren't you?
I'm a romantic.
And there is no doubt, I don't know if you guys share this doubt, because I certainly don't have it. There is no doubt that part of this, Gladys Berejiklian was on the phone said, Cooper, have a look at this. Have a look at this vista.
Look, hand in hand, you could be walking through the Domain, you know, down to the garden.
They still got that travelator up from the car park in the Domain, the moving footway?
Yes.
That's like Tomorrowland at Disneyland.
Yes, we've now got street art in the inner west.
We've got
some wonderful things.
Dare I say, as my arm is being twisted behind my back, we've got a little cultural festival called Vivid coming up.
We have. Cooper, purple, Vivid. Oh. Goes without saying, doesn't it? Well, there's a lot of stuff about Sydney. It's not just love.
He is regarded as a Renaissance man, and I think Sydney is all about Renaissance people.
Yeah. Says here, quote, I've been pretty selfish in my approach to my football career, and I think it's time I put someone else and something else first. The someone else is...
The game?
No.
Canterbury Bankstown?
No.
Des Hasler? Fox Sports presenter Tara Rushton. Who primarily is responsible for anchoring the... A-League coverage. So not only is he leaving the Storms, which I understand, he's potentially leaving the game for someone working in the football industry. Right. That worries me.
Yeah. So Cooper's the modern man. You said Renaissance man. I think where you can merge business and love together to go hand in hand. Says here, having the opportunity to have a family and start a family in Sydney.
That's the script.
But play football in the same city, Melbourne, just doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
Well, he doesn't like flying.
It's an hour. You can't even watch a box set.
Yeah.
It's in the air for so little time.
And we didn't think Cooper was prone to some of the more baser instincts of human beings. But it says that I'm jealous of the guys who have their families here. It is in Melbourne. And it's time for me to try and prioritise my time and my future.
Yes, because as we all know, there's nothing better than going home to the wife and kids.
Yes, who would want to sit on their own having a steak? Porterhouse steak, $250,000,
potatoes. He says he's watching TV. What's he really watching?
Garlic butter on your potatoes and a big, bugger off TV screen.
Peas out of the microwave and, I believe, after a win against a top four side, it's a 500-gram T-bone.
Wow. What's he drinking? Does he drink?
Mineral water.
Yeah.
It's Cooper Cronk.
Now, you're a cynic.
Mineral water with a bit of machine oil mixed in.
You're a cynic, Chris. And you believe, you know, like Rutger Hauer's character, you know, the android, or the replicant in Blade Runner, that all he wished for when he had his last gasp of whatever life it was, birds, love, connection with people.
Human emotion.
Or other replicants. Human emotion, yeah.
It's the Wizard of Oz.
I mean, Rosie and the Jetsons. You went for the same thing.
The Tin Man, if I only had a heart.
The Tin Man, yeah.
Because... Cooper Cronk is the mechanical man, and I am extremely suspicious of this. I mean, this idea of having human emotions, and again, we were talking about this in the Avengers, you know, the Vision, a synthesoid.
Yeah, the synthesoid.
He aspired to have human emotions, and I think Cooper is actually hiding something here. He says he's going for love. He thinks that plays well in the broader community.
Oh, you're a cynic, Chris Gayle.
I'm a football expert.
But it is the kind of things humans say.
Rugby league, I should say, not football.
Yeah.
I'm a rugby league expert, and it's commonly accepted that in the evolving game, reduced interchange, smaller person brought back into the fray, that you have to play a bit of footy. Yeah. So if you've watched the Melbourne Storms going 5-0 this year, they've actually been shifting the ball, moving it around, a bit of creativity, a bit of ad-lib stuff. Cooper is a man lost.
Can I counter that?
You can.
Quote.
You'll be wrong, but you can counter it.
When he went to, and he did the press conference, it says, Cronk and Rushton, that's Tara, were engaged in January, and pressure of living apart has obviously proved too much. His voice wavering and his eyes damp with tears. The 33-year-old said it was finally time to put something other than footy first, he says here, right?
That was a bit of Valvoline or UB40 going on there.
And then Rushton fought back tears as she watched Kronk tell the world exactly how much he loves her. He knows he wears his heart on his sleeve or whatever he's got.
She was wired up, and right. He goes, cry now.
Ah!
And she's a professional. It's masking all this.
Yes.
And by the way, I think they will now be referred to as Crushton.
Yes.
But in terms of what's happening there, Cooper needs to go and find someone, a coach, who's prepared to not play footy, impose all sorts of structure and rigidity around what happens on the field.
Yeah.
Hence, Matty, you've nailed it. Cooper Cronk will be a Bulldog 2018.
And therefore, can I say, where would Crushton be seen socially? Would it be the Icebergs, or would it be somewhere down La Kemba Way?
Well, I'd imagine he'd be at a fine steak restaurant.
Yeah, I'd say the Black Stump.
The Black Stump. But maybe there's a theory.
He's
looking at a steak
all
chain.
You can eat. What was that all you can eat place?
Sizzler's.
Sizzler at Mossman's.
And Sizzler's just gone. He's going from Cogger.
Well, there's a hole in the market for a steak restaurant.
The Black Stump, you know, can you believe this? The Black Stump that used to be up near the Wakehurst Parkway entrance has been demolished for a hospital.
Hospital?
What are they talking about?
What is going on? Social services or what?
As if red meat causes cancer.
As if.
Fire it up!
Fire it up!
Ready to go!
Ready to go!
Fire it up!
Ready to go!
Fire up!
Fire up!
Ready to go! Let's go change the world. Thank you, everybody. All right, who wants ice cream? Come get it.
What a crazy morning! You've power walked the poodle, Pilates your little pants off, pulled a parking fine, and pranged the Porsche into a pedestrian! I'd say you've earned a little me time. Kick back, relax, pamper your senses, and lose yourself in a paradise of glistening quadriceps and flying turf, as FBI Radio's silky smooth Stefano Felici and Bondi's very own Bonino boy, Brett Oden, present another tantalizing installment of radio's sexiest rugby league gadfest. Fire up. So why not make it a date every Friday morning at 9? Right here at the home of Rugby League for Ladies, FBI Radio. We'll be waiting for you.
We're sharing the love here. Bit of a nod to our Twitter captain.
Yeah. The SS Twitter, Freddie Oten, who's a player agent, as we mentioned recently, and I wouldn't discount him from being involved in the Kronk. Because Brett also a man for love.
Yes, he's looking for a bit of action on the player market too, isn't he?
He's looking for any action on the
play. How would he be feeling this morning? Because there was big nod to Warren Smith. He was on form last night.
He was
on
fantastic.
Fox. We both agree. Channel 9, wake up to yourselves. Bolts. Ray Hadley.
What's wrong with Matt Thompson?
When you've got a choice, what's the choice? Matty, what do you listen to? What
well,
do you
watch? I must admit, I haven't watched the game on Channel 9 all year.
Oh.
I miss Gus's insights.
And I love Rabs.
Yeah, but there's something about Channel 100. It's just not resonating. If it hasn't got a 5 in front of it, I don't watch it.
You've got to go 209. It's in HD, Matty. I think the ranking is, and eventually Smith will naturally assume the mantle of Warren. Yeah. But my preference would be Warren, Smith, I then go Thompson, turn the TV off, then Hadley.
Right.
So, Ray, the taxi driver, Hadley's still calling footy.
Apparently they got him back in.
Uber's put him out of business.
Yes.
Oh, well, now that the Parrot's back on, I've recovered.
Well, notoriously, he never liked to go home for a steak.
Tremendous pain. Hadley was doing about 11 hours shifts on 2GB while the Parrot was incapacitated, so he's now back to his usual
seat. He was driving a taxi the whole time.
Oh, that's right. So he's multitasking. By the way, you know how the usual knock in Sydney, which, Cooper, we welcome you with open arms.
The great city of Sydney.
Is that all taxi drivers listen to 2GB?
Mm.
They've all jumped to Smooth FM.
Ah,
It's like every taxi driver is Smooth FM.
Yeah. They should just change over that voice ID person. They don't like that. Smooth FM. No, don't like it.
The sinister
like you jumped to Smooth FM as well.
So, last night's game, Brisbane Broncos in Brisbane. Look, back to normal. Back to business. They know where they are. Well, the GPS systems, the gyroscopter. What did you call it last week?
Yeah, the gimbal lock. They're out of gimbal lock. And, I mean, it wasn't Friday night, but...
close enough.
With the change in daylight saving down south.
Yes.
You know, it kind of felt like the time shift. So they were very comfortable. Yeah. Big win for the Broncos, so much so the Bronco Ridge is taking his shirt off in the studio this morning. That's how relaxed and comfortable he is.
Full house at Lang Park. And gee whiz, weren't those Roosters great? Weren't they? Sean Kenny Dow. How good Sean Kenny Dow? Huh?
There's nothing like going and burying the ghost, of course. The final 2 years ago, Broncos v Roosters at Suncorp call to qualify for the grand final.
That's right.
I was there. And the legendary Sean Kenny Thal double pump intercepted Darius Boyd, first 10 seconds try. And SKD, or as a number of my friends refer to him as Barry, as in Barry Crocker, shocker, didn't really exercise those ghosts last night in any way, shape, or form.
Is there something to do with the fact they were the most hyphenated team in rugby league and now they're not?
Oh, they are not the most hyphenated team. That's been taken off them. And so, they're a little bit adrift because Penrith has that.
There's Jared Waria Hargraves, Troy Kenny Dow,
Roger Tuivasa,
Sheck. Now, who's got it now? Who's got the mantle?
Well, it's Penrith.
Penrith?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you want to hear?
I do. Please, rattle them off.
Penrith have the new kid, Corey Harawira Niera.
Yes.
James Fisher-Harris.
Yes.
The rather regal-sounding Regan Campbell-Gillard.
Yes.
And then there's Dallin Watini-Zelezniak and Malachi Watini-Zelezniak. Yeah. And this is not a well-known fact, that Dallin Watini-Zelezniak and Malachi Watini-Zelezniak are not related.
Wow.
Two different Watini-Zelezniak families.
And I know all of our listeners are going...
Plural, Stephen, what happens, plural.
And we've discussed this before. What happens when you get... two double hyphenates marrying and having kids. What do they do with the names? It's one of those conundrums nobody's ever solved. They're quad names. We haven't got to that in rugby league yet, have we?
If you go back in time, I once met a gentleman whose name was Brett Hall. And he decided to...
If that's his real name.
He decided to class up his name, so he renamed himself Brett Hall.
Isn't that like Gary?
Yeah, so you can still be called Brett, but have all the benefits that having a hyphenated surname brings with you.
He went home to a steak on his own, didn't he? He forgot a steak of sausage.
He was
wrapped up sausage of pig ears.
He was actually special.
He was actually dating a much younger Venezuelan girl and her sister, so he wasn't doing too bad.
Hello, Brett.
If you're still out there,
good luck. Watch your secret.
How much did that cost him?
Oh, late.
You're going to Thailand for your holidays, aren't you, man?
I am going to Thailand, and that is a totally unrelated matter.
Wonderful local arts and crafts in Thailand. I mean, for someone who appreciates... I mean, you're in this... Matty's in the aesthetics
and
business.
I've got to say, there's a lot of cis male...
Yes.
Cis male identifies in Thailand.
Now, let's
or not
say,
identifies,
there are many
should I
go
say.
To, many reasons why you go to Thailand. And
yeah, but we all know there's really only one.
Well, if it's not the food like Anthony Bourdain, it's because you're a Buddhist at heart, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, I say I'm godless, but, you know, I don't mean...
You lean towards Buddha and he's nice... Happy ways.
His happy ways. His calmness.
As a hair expert, could you get that hair braided that you have?
Oh, it's possible. Ronda Rousey style.
Okay,
yes,
fair enough. Fair enough.
Gee, we miss her, don't we?
Yeah.
Do the game.
Like a game?
I'm saying I think she was overrated.
She wear a mean hood.
Is it possible to overrate anything in
now,
UFC?
What? This is the love episode. And the Sydney episode, of course. Bring footy back to Sydney, you say, Chris. That's your mantra this week.
Look, is there anyone in this room who didn't think that rugby league was better when it was 12 Sydney teams?
Yes, no. And can we just give a, you know, Buzz went to see Changa.
Yes.
And Changa's in his twilight years in a rest home.
Not going so well.
And some clown has gone and snuck a bloody Cronulla post up on his wall. And Changa doesn't realise, I don't think.
Oh, no.
Yes.
The Alzheimer's has got him that
apparently,
bad.
What lowlife would do that to Changa?
Now, look, was it a bit of a leap to blame concussion on Changa's current predicament? Like, God bless Changa. Fine man.
So much of a leap that Buzz had to print the doctor's certificate it's possible, you know?
I watched a lot of Changa's games. I never saw him get tackled.
Changa, the biggest sidestep in history. Any code, right? Never got his head anywhere near it.
Is there not any topic that you're not prepared to open up in order to bring back your distaste for the Cronulla split off in 1967? I mean, It was their 50th birthday last week, Stephen. Can't they just, I mean, celebrate in peace?
How long are you going to harbour this grudge, Stephen?
Somebody has to be the bearer of history, you know. And it was the Monty Python spitters.
You think of all the wonderful things that Cronulla has given rugby league. Yeah. Okay, well, maybe you got a point, but, you know.
So, Changa, and of course, talking of love, you referred to the love of his life, or the love of her life was Changa.
As you know, I come from the Balmain side of the Joint Peninsula, like Danny Elias. So I'm a keen historian of Balmain, and I read Dawn Fraser's autobiography. And in a very moving...
She confesses?
Confesses that Graham Langlands was the love of her life.
Wow.
But she was older than Changa.
Yeah.
And Changa's mother intervened, did not approve of the relationship. And
because she was a Balmain supporter and he was a St. George player?
Exactly right. Yeah, I mean, you don't Changa's mother said he got nothing to do with those Balmain people.
Well, nothing to do with Dawn being lesbian.
Look, hey, you know, that was...
Noted.
That was an evolutionary thing, yes. And there's nothing wrong with any of all that.
No, not at all. But maybe Dawn's mum saw something in Dawn before Dawn saw something in Dawn.
Exactly.
Parents know their children.
They do.
Parents know their children, yeah. But but it just does make you just want to speculate a little bit. Imagine the babies. The Changa Dawn Fraser babies. How good was sport would they have been?
Yes. Fastest.
Not only would they be quick in the pool, they'd just change lanes.
Lanes.
Like they wouldn't believe.
At will.
And change strokes.
At will. And then, of course, you're saying he went off and spent many years in Southeast Asia.
He was a man so full of love that he found Manila bars were probably the best way to spread his love.
Right, okay.
To speak. Yes.
We salute you, Changa Langlands.
Man full of love.
I love the guy.
Brisbane doesn't salute Wayne.
No, well,
Brisbane's turned on Wayne even more than we thought last week.
Well, didn't they play a bit of footy last night?
They did.
Like the likes of Tautai Moga throwing to nobody. Yeah. Pangai Jr. picking up the ball spilled after Milford got creamed and sprinting down, hair flowing through his hair. Andrew McCulloch again burrowing over from dummy half and not smiling because the man never smiles. The most miserable 200-game player in the game.
In history.
It was almost as though the coach wasn't there.
Wasn't there. Where would Wayne be?
He would have been out on a date.
Yeah, with Dale.
A date with Dale.
Even his own family have turned on him, apparently. What about his son that likes to play pranks and wear the opposition jersey? Is he still in his quarter or still playing pranks?
Oh, look, he comes home from the game now and the son's got a mask of the mother on.
Oh!
Oh, easy.
Doing it for Trish.
Easy.
It's Mick Dundee style, isn't it?
Probably wearing other clothes now. But it's like, you can imagine if you were gone to a mission to Mars and you came back today and you heard that the likes of Cooper Cronk is leaving the Storms for love. And Wayne Bennett's not even turning up to the games for love.
Yes.
It's a very different world, isn't it?
It's a very different world. Footy's not the same as it used to be. Now, there's some weird stuff happened. As you said, Wayne had left the box. Wayne was kissing, I think. He was smooching in the corridor somewhere. And the players noticed, right?
Furtively.
And they went off paddock, off pasture, off plot, off copybook. So they're doing wild stuff. Wild, crazy stuff, aren't they?
And benefiting enormously.
And anybody that's played footy in their life will know the joy, the pleasure of seeing an ankle tap in full flight.
It is the greatest sight in rugby league.
Is it not?
And again, Michael Gordon heading to the line and miserable Andrew McCulloch.
Yeah, tap.
But boy, that guy gives 110% when it's mathematically possible.
Sean Kenny Dow could have positioned himself between... Well, not between four Brisbane Broncos getting back on side.
And there was the greatest kick from Blake Ferguson.
Yes, he went for the short kickoff and it actually went negative metres.
What happened then?
Fool me once, says Kahu.
He was looking at the ball going, what do I do? Where's Wayne?
Eyes as wide as dinner plates. Perceived opportunity.
Yeah.
And what about your boy, Ben Hunt?
Yeah, our man Ben, we call him.
Yeah, after the cruelly disallowed try. Matty, what did you think about that call?
The worst decision in the history of the game. That Ben Hunt should have been strolling back to halfway, celebrating a try.
Yes.
Instead, he's throwing the ball in the scrum.
Yeah.
He's torn a hamstring. Oh. Disgusting.
Yes. And then proceeds to tackle the bugger.
Well, that's right. They put him on the wing and then...
What do you do?
The rooster shifted wide.
You run at the wing.
And... Look at the courage of Ben Hunt with the damaged hamstring, still participating in the game, and further injuring himself, which says to me that St. George has purchased a very brave and very stupid halfback. Good luck next year, Ben Hunt.
And now that Wayne's lost the dressing room, right?
Well,
they're losing weight. They're losing weight, you know?
Well, I think they were sympathy eating. I think old Sam Thaiday, to bury the emotions of being broken-hearted, was eating pie after pie.
Were they sympathy eating for Trish?
Yes. They were getting together, box of chocolates, few pies.
Both Thaiday and Milford looked like they'd purged during the week, didn't they?
Yeah.
And Milford was stellar. I mean, that little half hesitation and then the shift to Thaiday for the try was really good rugby league.
Yes.
But it seems that not only has Wayne lost the dressing room.
I don't really care much for rugby league, but I really love Fire Up.
not only has Wayne lost the dressing room, he's lost the weight of the coaching box. Yes, yes. He doesn't even know where it is now.
No, and Sam Thaiday got a little tummy pad.
Sam Thaiday, two tries, 2 weeks.
He is clearly promised a pie after every try.
Pie for try.
He out-sprinted the fastest man on the field to score last week.
Well, it's the old, he scored another meat pie, and Sam takes it very literally.
Motivation. Hey? So if it's not love, it's a pie.
And that's what a super coach does. He understands all the different motivations of players, and it's, you know, Wayne's kind of lost that.
Some super coaches, though, know they need to try different methods, like, for example, a bus journey.
Yes.
Ivan can see clearly now.
Is this thing on?
I don't know.
He's moving. Now, there's dominoes are falling left, right and centre, right? Coaches move, halfbacks move.
Yep.
Coaches move, halfbacks move. Right. So Ivan's gone to...
the West Tigers.
We promised our listeners we wouldn't do any more West Tigers, but okay, we'll talk about Ivan this week.
Okay.
Okay. And... Reg, we're on. No, we had it. We have something there. It's not working. No, we won't quote that one.
Can I improvise here, Stephen? Mm-mm. I mean, this may or may not work, but I think with any luck, if I just hold this up to the microphone, we'll get a little signal here. No, we're getting nothing. Hey, we'll try it again. This is so good. This is.
Ivan Cleary here. I've committed to the West Tigers, and I hope you will too. Jump back on board as a member today. Call 0287413300.
Is that Ivan's number?
Yeah, that was a personal call I received from Coach Cleary during the week saying to jump on board because he, in his first player meeting, called the players together and gave them a piece of wisdom that will restore the Tigers to the glory days of 2005. And that piece of wisdom is, and you can imagine all the players hanging on this.
Sign up Benji
including
Marshall.
Including the Big Four. Yeah. Sign Cooper Cronk. Yeah. And then he just walked out.
Yeah. Apparently there are 9 clubs already lined up in the queue. It was in Mimas. It's got a stand. Anyway, sorry.
Marina Go and Justin Pascoe took Ivan aside and said, Ivan, we guarantee we'll get Cooper Cronk to the club, and he signed on the bottom line. How's he feeling now? Justin Pascoe, by the way, is the man who says that he wants to turn the West Tigers into the number one sporting organisation in Australia.
What does Justin do?
He's the CEO.
He's
the one who makes us the number one sporting organisation in Australia. He's
what
kidding.
I want to know if you're the number one... Yeah, where is his desk? They don't have a building. Do they have a building?
Well, they're going to have a $57 million centre of excellence eventually when they tear down Concord Oval stand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but back at the next to the toilets under the shed there at Concord, that's where his office is, right?
But
in the meanwhile, you call it Banksyville up at Roselle, right?
The meth lab.
Yeah, where they've got the street art.
Yeah,
and
which they've now put a heritage order on because they don't want to lose, because they want to show this is what can happen when you mismanage something so badly. It's a continuous corporate lesson for all of Australia.
Or it could look like the Roosters place up at Bondi Junction.
Look, I actually support Justin in his aspiration to be the number one sporting organisation. It's just right now he's in startup mode and he's got a virtual office.
Yes.
But anyway, Ivan gets the kids all there and the West Tigers and the Big Four and the whole hoo-ha and he says, fellas, you're either on the bus or off the bus.
Yeah, this is like the Merry Pranksters, right? Ken Kesey.
That's right.
Get on the bus.
The way they've been playing, it's a short bus.
The Partridge Family. The Partridge Family.
So if they pull up at a stop, you know, let's say, I don't know, they pull up down at outside one of the pubs down at the bottom of East Balmain, Gallimore Road, you know, and they miss the bus because, you know, they're watching television, having a steak or whatever they do when they're living. What happens then? They're not on the team?
No, they're gone.
They're gone.
And that is the mantra driving the week for the Tigers.
Jump on board.
Jump on board, or you don't jump on board. Yeah. And Luke Brooks, Mitchell Moses, Aaron Woods, James Tedesco, all been hauled in and say, are you on board?
Yeah, right.
So far, Luke Brooks has looked at the market and said, yes. Mitchell Moses has said, I'm heading up river.
Right. And on this bus ride, I'm assuming it's an inspirational journey. I'm sure it's taking all the high spots. You know, for example, where, I don't know, who was our famous premier who said, Balmain Boys Don't Cry?
Neville Rann.
Okay, so did Neville Rann have a favourite drinking spot, perhaps? Do they go there and say that's where, and that's where they built the Anzac Bridge, and that's where the workers would go for a beer?
Well, the Unity Hall Hotel in Balmain, which was the birthplace of the Australian Labor Party.
Birchgrove Oval.
Yes, the birthplace of rugby league.
Inspiration, okay. And then Banksyville.
Banksyville.
Yeah. Top of Roselle.
Yeah.
Street art.
Formerly Balmain League Club.
Formerly Balmain League Club. Yeah. It's pretty inspirational. So Ivan's really got some plans. Now, what else do you think, what's he going to do with these? He's got a world club team, hasn't he?
Yes. Matty,
this is the thing. He's out of Lebanon. He's no longer coaching Lebanon.
He was coaching Lebanon.
He was going to coach Lebanon.
Cleary doesn't sound very Lebanese to me.
Yeah, well, anyway, he's going to coach Lebanon. So, as fortune would have it, I found myself down in Goulburn Supermax last week visiting Ivan.
Yes.
Not Ivan Cleary.
Another Ivan.
And there's a few solid Lebanese boys residing there.
Right.
There's one of the former brothers for life.
Right.
What's his name? Bassam Hamzri. Yeah.
So they're not happy.
Oh, they're happy down there because they now have the reins of the Lebanon Rugby League Club.
Oh, I see.
And I tell you, you try defending this. You've got 13 bearded Lebanese fellas. They tend to be Sunnis.
Yeah.
They put the bomb up. Yeah. They start screaming, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. You try and defend that. It doesn't matter where they are on the field. They put the bomb up. You're gone.
And Ivan was trying to whitewash that stuff out of the game, wasn't he?
Yes,
he was trying to make it.
He radicalised them, I think he was trying to do.
But of course, it does what that does
God
underline.
Bless our Lebanese brothers.
Yeah, what it does underline with the advent of things like the bunker, I think it would be entirely possible to coach a rugby league team from a high security prison.
it's just 15 of them.
It's like you're in the coach's box. You're just a little bit further away from the action. That's all.
Righto. Yeah. This is Fire Up. We got the barber from Frog Hollow, Maddie, Chris, and myself. We'll be back in just a moment.
And everywhere we go, we had 25,000 people in New York City. I asked them, are you fired up? And they were all fired up. And I asked them, are you ready to go? And they're all ready to go.
We are. We will be. We're from Sydney. We're in love. It's all good.
We're so much in love that we're prepared to acknowledge the musical genius of Pete Townsend, who started that song with just a period of silence just to create an anticipation in the listener.
Yes.
That's courage.
Yes.
And to have courage in music, you have to bring love to the table.
Yes.
And Who brought love to the table in spades. Love reign over me, if I can quote Quadrophenia.
Yes, you can. Polymath. I felt apprehension and then pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes. That was the intent, right?
That sounds like basically the story of my love life, actually.
Now, there's another city that's feeling pretty good at the moment. They shouldn't be because they've hit rock bottom for a while, and that is Newcastle, where they've had the Brown polish. Nathan Brown was taken up there. All the money was taken off him. He had nothing to play with. He had Tinklerville running just to rot. It was a broken ass town.
There hasn't been a rot or a girder produced by that town in 20 years.
Working class industrial town with nothing going on. Rust Belt stuff, you know? Yep. Trump would be voted in there. But no, things are turning around.
They are turning around.
People are starting to talk about going to Newcastle. It's not that far from Sydney, really.
No, well, it's just a hop, skip, and a drive away. It's not like Melbourne where you can't get there from Sydney.
You'd want to get to Melbourne.
It's close. It's adjacent.
Yeah,
they're having. I saw Blondie and Cyndi Lauper up in the Hunter Valley on the weekend.
They've got wine.
Entertainment.
For Colburn.
It's cosmopolitan.
It is. Coffee.
And now they've got Kalen Ponga.
Festivals, art galleries.
Yes.
Yes, musicians, Silverchair.
Beach.
Castanet Club, funny people.
Yep.
They've got it all up there.
Johns Brothers.
So who are they trying to entice up there now?
Well, the rumour is James Graham, but no, the front and centre, of course, is the great Cronulla utility, Jack Bird.
St George originally, yes.
In that great nursery that is St George, Illawarra.
Should be Cronulla.
Yes, and Jack Bird, of course, is, like Dukes, very much concerned that he's sort of confined to playing centre three-quarter for the Cronulla
What's
Sharks.
What's wrong with that?
You get centre three-quarter money.
Why would there be different money?
There's centre three-quarter money.
Who came up with that rule?
There's fullback money.
Yeah.
Right, there's spine money. Yeah. And then in Jason Taumalolo's case, there's Taumalolo money.
Money.
Right. And so Bird is feeling that he's perhaps undervalued at the Sharks because Valentine Holmes... And in a week where we talk about love, why wouldn't a guy whose name is Valentine
Holmes
be fated? Yeah. So Bird feels
he's got extra payment for that, right?
That's right. Yeah. Extra payment. It's called the love surcharge. Right. And Jack Bird, you know, which is, you know, doesn't really roll off the tongue, feels underloved, underappreciated, and has been attempted to be lured up to the Hunter.
Look, you mentioned James Bond. I reckon Jack Bird sounds great. It's better than Jack Reacher. Jack Bird. What do you reckon, Matty?
Oh, I'm more of a Jack the Raven Bird, you know, joining the Knights, Game of Thrones, the synergy.
I've seen
Nathan Brown as Jon Snow. They play like White Walkers, so, you know, you can't
Whatever
go wrong.
You're saying, I'm with you.
So I reckon if you shot Nathan Brown, he'd get resurrected. I don't think there'd be any issue about that. So of course, they're trying to lure the bird
from
the
Shire.
Yeah, to take
another
flight.
Another seaside place up at Newcastle.
There's a lot of creatures involved in this, you know, sharks and birds and knights and what have you.
Yeah.
But they're trying to lure him. So the first thing they did, because the Knights were the unlucky losers 1918 to the Sharks on their 50th anniversary game last week at Shark Park. On the Sunday, I believe, Nathan said, Jack, let's just go grab a coffee.
Come to Newcastle, experience what we Novocastrians do and how we roll.
So the coffee, I think, which probably occurred in the Shire, was just a sort of an intro to say, we're a cosmopolitan town.
Yeah.
You can have coffee in many establishments
wow.
in Newcastle. Yeah. Come have a look.
Right.
So Jack hopped in. Just a car. Didn't need to fly up there. Because it's nice and close to
I get the train
Sydney.
In Newcastle.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Tinkler's helicopter's been repossessed.
Can't get up there any other way.
Yeah. Tinkler's been repossessed, I think.
And all the horses. I mean, you can hitch a ride with Packer, who's got somewhere up there, hasn't he? He's got to join up at
I hear he ate most of them.
Okay.
So, and he says, you're not really leaving Sydney. You're just sort of kind of going to the very north shore of Sydney.
Extended suburb of Sydney.
So, supposedly Jack has actually hopped in his car and headed up to Newcastle last week.
What did he find?
Well, he was greeted by Matt Gidley, the Newcastle CEO. Coach Brown.
Yeah.
And he said...
In a professional capacity.
In a professional capacity. Yeah. You know, he's greeted at the actual... I think it's Newcastle West is sort of like de facto leagues club for them.
Yeah.
There at the door to greet Jack and park his car valet style was the great Colonel Mustard, Robbie O. Davis.
Robbie O.
And he goes, oh, Jack, how are you going? Look what the Knights have done for me.
Yeah.
You know, and he goes, what a great career I had.
So you're saying he drives cars now?
He parks them.
Parks cars. Parks right, them. Valet style.
And greets people.
In a uniform, I hope. Yeah.
And
with an ankle bracelet on. No, he's all good, isn't he?
He's all good.
And then, so they then went off on a tour of Newcastle.
Yeah.
They said,
who should pop up around the corner?
Well, they actually went and said, you look a bit thirsty, Jack. How would you like a milkshake?
Wow.
So they dropped into one of the local milk bars in Hunter Street.
Yeah.
Who's working behind the bar? But of course, Mad Dog Adam McDougall.
Mad Dog McDougall?
Offering him a manshake.
Wow.
He said, so you'll come to Newcastle and you'll get fit.
Yeah.
Because you're obviously clearly unfit at the Sharks.
Yes, of course. Look at him.
They went to the local library. And who's working behind the library? Probably the dullest Newcastle Knight of all time.
I was going to say Andrew John's a big reader of books, isn't he?
No. It was Danny Badaris.
Danny Badaris. Fantastic.
They went to one of the local Newcastle Knight spots.
Yes. Oh, no.
Bumped into Danny Wicks.
Danny Wicks, mind you. Post-jail.
Reformed and now Parramatta Eel, but retired.
He still had a pocket full.
So he's like, he's not selling the powders anymore. He's selling the good word of God, isn't he?
He's saying, look, redemption is possible.
Redemption is possible.
This town looks after its own.
Exactly. You know? Right.
But while we're on the drug theory, Gus Gould informed me years ago that poor old Birdie's on some pretty expensive medication.
Yeah, he's got the rheumatoid arthritis.
Jack Bird.
So that youngster.
The youngster is... So,
really,
yeah,
already?
Yeah. In all seriousness, the poor fella. So they did take him to John Hunter Hospital.
That's right.
They checked him over.
They did. And they went into outpatients. And who would be there to say good day?
No.
Dr. Paul Harrigan. Well, you know he does the health insurance ads.
The nib one.
Because he said, Jack... They put me through med school when I finished with rugby league and the footy show, and now look, I'm a doctor.
If we talk about men of league, you know, when you get a certain point, you're busted and broken, and they just go, oh, we better give them some money for a halfway house. But this is the whole town coming into play. Everybody. It's like the Truman Show.
It is.
Everywhere you go, people are smiling at you and doing things for you, saying, come and join us. It's a great place. Don't go back.
And it wasn't a setup.
No.
It wasn't a setup. And what I'm hearing is that the wing has signed on the dotted line. So can you imagine a Newcastle Knights?
Yeah. You haven't mentioned the Johns brothers, though. Are they traders? They shipped out of town, are they?
No, I think they've been shipped out of town.
Jack's
they're Cessnock boys at the end of the day.
Jack's
not going to be fooled. I mean, he's not going to believe that they're sort of, you know, the local mayor and, you know, the head of the community centre when they've got high-profile media careers. But there is that lure, is that when they have an old boys' day, and they're very famous for having the old boys' day at the Newcastle Knights, they're going, Jack, you'll be on field with Matty and Andrew Johns.
Wow. Walking through pyrotechnics, unaffected. Now, and he went down the beach, I heard, and said, look, I don't mind a surf. And who was on a board waving at him? Darren Albert.
Ah. Who could forget? Blonde bombshell, 97.
Oh, blonde hair flowing.
We'll be back in just a moment. Fire up, wrap it up with the barber from Frog Hollow.
Feels good. Sounds good. Fired up. I didn't really mind. A new love surely wouldn't be so hard to find. But now I see myself and know what lies within. And now I realize the fool that I have been. Because I can't stop myself from watching you. Can't stop myself from needing you. I've tried so hard. Can't stop myself. Can't stop myself from watching you.
Somebody's upset.
Uh-oh.
Someone thought we were being racist.
Uh-oh.
It's about love. We care. We share.
We offer nothing but love. Yeah. As Milhouse said in campaigning to be Mr. Burns' new son, he goes, I have nothing to offer you but my love. And Mr. Burns replied, I specifically said no geeks.
Right. Fire up here, wrapping it up. It is this, the Friday, the 7th of April, and you feel like spring. Now, you know, love is in the air. Sorry, that was William Shakespeare.
We'll embrace...
Same family.
We'll embrace all the critique that we're getting, and we apologise unreservedly for anyone we've ever offended...
Who takes offence.
...ever before, now, or in the future.
Indeed, indeed. Now, congratulations, I should say, those that are really running the shows at both networks, Yvonne Sampson.
Yes.
Engagee.
The anchor and face of the Fox League channel.
Right. Engaged.
And host of League Live, and magnificent interview they did with Jason Taylor during the week. And JT really opened up, and he did say to Woods and Tedesco, sign or you're being disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can have the last word, I suppose, can't he?
It's his opinion.
Yeah, right. Anyway, we salute you. Aaron Mullen.
Aaron Mullen is also engaged to Sean the Copper.
Sean the Copper.
Yeah, Yvonne's keeping it in the family. She's marrying a Channel 9 reporter, Chris O'Keefe.
Not the League family, TV family.
Within the TV family. Yeah, and also, isn't it really good to see... Like in Shakespeare, with, you know, like Romeo and Juliet, you can bridge the Channel 9 Fox divide.
Yes.
And that's kind of embodied in Sturlo on his own.
Aren't they all?
And I have been meaning to say, and finally in about episode 6, I've remembered, not only is Sturlo not on the couch, on the couch with Sturlo, the couch is 3 seats pushed together now.
Ah.
It's not even a couch that they put Blocker and Michael Ennis and Corey Parker.
What's the purpose of this, Chris? Is it a budget cut?
I think it's sort of trying to mess with our minds.
Right.
By the way, Michael Ennis's hair, Maddie. There used to be a piece that the Devo guys wore in 1982 called the New Traditionalist Devo Do. Who does that effect, Eddie Munster effect?
I was thinking, he used to wear a headgear to protect his head.
Yes.
He wore a headgear to tame the hair. Oh, my God.
Or without protect
a head,
hair.
Without a headgear, the man has gone...
Does it really do your head in, Matty, as a barber, when you watch rugby league and you look at some of the cuts and what could be done? Does that sort of drive you a bit? Does it distract you, is what I'm going to say?
Oh, look, I've said it before. Rugby league is the world leader in men's hairstyles.
It is.
And
it is.
I will not sit in judgment on any rugby league player's fine choice.
You're just taking notes.
Yes.
Do people walk into your Cran Street establishment with a big league poster and say, you know, give me the Jeff Robson or something like that?
Well, years ago they used to come in with a David Beckham, and it's like,
not anymore. They come in with rugby league, any rugby league player. They're all good.
And if you go to the Fire Up Facebook page, I took a screenshot of Jason Taylor looking very relaxed and comfortable on League Live, and you can just see the beginning of a mullet.
A mini mullet.
Yeah, mini mullet, which just shows he really is stopping finally and smelling the roses. As my partner Mary Jane continuously says, Jason Taylor's problem was he never smiled.
Yes.
Andrew McCulloch style.
Yes.
Jeez, that was one of them.
Yeah.
Because you know,
I think there's a hint of a smile coming through.
The simple act.
Because love is in the air.
Yeah, and if you're unhappy, if you smile, you feel happier.
The research smiling, shows.
Yes.
Research shows.
Just smile first if you're unhappy, and then you'll feel happier.
Still, I've also read research that says that the pursuit of happiness is a myth in the 21st century and is making us all miserable.
Well, what do the Buddhists say about that, Matty?
Tigers fans.
Oh, you know, it's all irrelevant at the end of the day.
You know, you go back and you're a butterfly or a piece of string or something.
And we wondered, while we're saluting people, the most winningest player ever, Cameron Smith.
The despot.
Yeah, the despot. He's the most winningest player ever, even though they had their points taken off them. He still gets the points.
It's incredible.
How does that work?
I don't know. Well, there has been an action filed in the High Court under the Trade Practices Act, under the monopolies laws, that you can't be captain of the Storms, Queensland, Australia, and president of the RLPA in modern society, and I'm funding that action.
And he still takes the awards.
He wins everything.
Yeah, I think we should get Darren Lockyer on the show and see how he feels about that.
Oh, boy. And aren't they going to be...
The Broncos were pretty close to being over the cap a couple of years he played.
And aren't they going to be doing it for Cooper in 2017? Isn't that going to be a story that's going to go on and on and on?
Look, the game just keeps on giving. Thank you, Matty, for coming.
Oh, pleasure.
Love it, Matty.
We'll see you next week.
We'll do, sir.
Done.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!